This is a WSKG News special. I'm Charles Compton. The following is a candidates' forum hosted earlier this week by the Binghamton Rotary Club. Their spotlight was on the mayoral race in Binghamton, where incumbent Republican Rich David faces a challenge from Democrat Tariq Abdelazim. Rotary member and moderator Linda Beamer introduced candidate Abdelazim.
So today's political forum includes the two candidates for mayor of the city of Binghamton. And I know, even though this is the Binghamton Rotary Club, not all of us live or work in the city of Binghamton, but we're all affected one way or another by what happens in the city of Binghamton. So I do think it's important that we do have the two candidates here. You may have family or friends who live in the city of Binghamton, so after today's forum, you may have some words of wisdom for them about which candidate you feel they should be endorsing. As usual, I will give a brief introduction of each candidate, then each will give a 3-minute presentation, then I'll ask my 3 questions to each of them, and then open it up to Rotarians, so have your questions ready. Tariq and Rich, you want to come up front, please? Tariq Abdelazim is a lifelong resident of Binghamton who lives on the south side and has years of management experience in the private, public, and nonprofit sectors. For the past 3 years, he has worked for the National Nonprofit Center for Community Progress, an organization helping communities transform vacant, abandoned, and deteriorated properties to improve neighborhood vitality and safety. Prior to that, he served for 7 years in local government. 4 years as Binghamton's deputy mayor and over 3 years as director of planning, housing, and community development. Rich David, from the Rochester area, moved to Binghamton in 1998 to become a reporter for WBNG-TV. In 2000, Binghamton Mayor Rich Bucci appointed Rich David director of community relations for the city. Rich was appointed deputy mayor and served in that capacity 2004 through 2006. He then served as public affairs officer at SUNY Broome. He developed Confluence Enterprises in 2008, restoring an historic downtown Binghamton building, followed by investment in various real estate holdings and businesses here in the city. He ran for mayor first in 2009, unsuccessfully, but again in 2013, successfully. So Rich has served as mayor the past 4 years. I introduce Rich second. So Rich, you get the opportunity to come up first and make an opening statement of no more than 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and hello. Hello, fellow Rotarians. It's very nice to be here. Thank you very much to the Rotary, Binghamton Rotary, for hosting this forum, and thank you to my opponent for showing up. I think this is our 6th or 7th and final meeting. That's right. See, we don't disagree on everything, so we're both happy that this is our last one. So the reason that I ran for mayor, and I think the way that this introduction was based is, so many of you, whether you live in Binghamton or not, what happens in Binghamton impacts you regardless of where you live. And when I ran for Binghamton in 2013, I was concerned about the direction the city was going. I was concerned about taxes that were being increased by 52%. I was concerned about the elimination of 20 police officers in the police department. I was concerned about a neglect in our infrastructure and our blight in our neighborhoods. And I heard from residents that they were ready for a change. They were concerned that the issues that were important to them were not being focused on. And over the course of the 4 years that I've been in office, we have focused on those areas. Police department, we've added 9 police officers. We've made investments in body cameras and cameras in the car. And we've demolished 60-plus buildings in our neighborhoods. We've fixed one-third of all city streets, more streets in 4 years than the previous administration did in 8 years. We've moved our LED streetlights to LED technology, and we've put Binghamton on the map for the right reasons, making Binghamton the first American city to meet the White House challenge to end veterans homelessness, and making the southern tier being recognized as a clean energy community by the governor's office. After years of decline, our downtown is thriving again, new restaurants and businesses filling our empty storefronts, and one-of-a-kind events like Luma making their mark on downtown, making Binghamton a destination for New Yorkers. And for the first time in decades, your taxes are actually going down, consecutive years of back-to-back tax cuts. And my opponent had an opportunity, working for the previous administration, an opportunity to address many of these things. And a lot of these issues were not priorities until this administration took office. And I look forward to the course of the next 4 years so I can continue taking action and delivering results for residents, because we are two very different individuals, and we offer two different visions of how to move Binghamton forward. But I do recognize that we both love the city of Binghamton, and we both want what's best, and I think we just have differing viewpoints on how to get there. So I look forward to having a good conversation this afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Tarek, your 3 minutes.
Thank you. It's great to be here to see many familiar faces, those who I've partnered with in my prior tenure at City Hall, and also the Rotary Club itself, who helped support some projects, particularly over at Columbus Park, that really enhanced the safety of a neighborhood that needed some investments. I am running for the city similar to Rich David, because I have a deep passion for my hometown, and I do have some concerns about our community's future. In the last service with the city administration, I was really proud of the work that we did. We inherited a city that was sliding towards financial ruin. We weathered 3 historic floods and guided the community to recovery. We endured the greatest economic recession in 80 years. And so the challenge for us was, how do you do more with less? How do we reset the city's trajectory? And I'm really proud of the accomplishments that we posted. I led an effort to right-size the police and fire departments and also tackle the health insurance costs, the 3 largest drivers of the city's finances. And that is a pivotal move that set the next mayor up for success. And that was the whole goal, right? We don't own City Hall. It was, this future belongs to all of us. Let's provide the next mayor with success. So taking a city that was basically bankrupt and leaving it with $9.5 million in the piggy bank, taking a dead downtown, and setting it on the trajectory to a thriving mixed urban core, tackling the blight in our neighborhoods. Both of us are very confident. We're both fiscally responsible executives. I think we both listen to the community and have able to move forward with some initiatives. But this is more than just the basics and policy. I think this race is also about values. And I just want to share a few. In this administration over the last 4 years, my opponent dismantled the Youth Bureau and decreased funding for youth programming. I wouldn't have done that. That's not my values. That after multiple sexual harassment allegations, the last council put forward reforms to improve the sexual harassment policy. My opponent vetoed that. I wouldn't have done that. That's not my values. There was the project at the Joint Sewage Treatment Plant, where the city council passed an ordinance to support local labor and to have them be involved, not a firm that is in Vermont, a general construction firm. And my opponent vetoed that. I wouldn't have done that. Those aren't my values. The mayor has purged the city website of all media releases before he took office, whereas Broome County maintains them for 10 years. I have a commitment to transparency and openness. I wouldn't have done that. So this race is about 2 candidates that are competent, but this race is also about values. And I would ask that all of you give those strong consideration. I'm going to be able to bring my expertise back in service to our neighborhoods. We're going to invest in our people, and we're going to restore honesty and openness to City Hall. And I'm going to do it in partnership with all of you, because I can't do it alone, and I would never want to. So I look forward to today's conversation. Thank you.
Don't sit down. You get the first question.
Okay.
All right. What do you see as the number one problem facing the city of Binghamton? If elected, what will you do about it, and why is that such a major problem?
I would say the number one problem is neighborhood safety. And I use that very generally, because public safety is not just about how many police officers you have on the street, right? I believe that in order to create safer neighborhoods, we need to tackle blight. In order to create safer neighborhoods, we need to address the coming tidal wave of high flood insurance premiums that could literally destabilize large housing markets in our neighborhood. I believe that to create safer neighborhoods, we have to have a comprehensive and strategic approach to investing in our infrastructure. I believe that to create safer neighborhoods, we have to invest in the root causes of crime, which to me is the lack of jobs, poverty, addiction, as well as too many youth without hope that are lost to gangs and violence. So this, my campaign is all about neighborhood safety. This is what I get paid to do, to travel the country, to coach mayors and local officials on how to take more strategic and comprehensive approaches. And that's exactly what I will bring to the mayor's office, and again, put that in service to all of our neighborhoods and all of our residents.
Rich, same question. What do you see as the city's greatest problem? Why is that? And if reelected, what will you do about it?
Okay, that's a great question. You know what does not enhance neighborhood safety or safety of the city as a whole? Cutting the, and gutting the police department. I think that you would be amazed at how understaffed the city of Binghamton Police Department is. And for those of you who live in the city, you would be shocked at the few number of officers who patrol overnight, which creates unsafe working conditions, which compromises public safety, puts our officers at risk, compromises public safety. I've added back 9 police officers, and over the course of 4 years, by expanding the community response team, we've seen a 14% decrease in crime, property crime. We still have some challenges with violent crime, but property crime is down 14%, and 2016 was the lowest year on record with regards to overall crime since the state and FBI have been collecting those statistics. So that's not making neighborhoods safer. And certainly adding officers is not the only thing that we need to do. But one of the primary challenges we have is with regards to jobs, the shortage of and lack of jobs in our community. And we have engaged in a comprehensive approach. You have to, the mayor doesn't create jobs. City Hall doesn't create the jobs. We create the environment that's attractive for people wanting to invest in our community. People don't want to live or invest in areas that are unsafe. You don't want to live or invest in areas that have the highest taxes per capita in New York State. You don't want to live or invest in areas that have neglected or crumbling infrastructure or shaky finances or quality of life issues in our parks and neighborhoods. So in order for us to focus on what is one of the number one priorities, which is jobs, we have to work to create a better environment. And that's why I focused on all of those areas simultaneously. Making investments in our police department, making infrastructure a major focus, providing tax cuts for the first time in decades, focusing on blight in our neighborhoods, and making major investments in our parks. Focusing on these areas simultaneously will help create a better environment. But without question, the number one service that the city provides is public safety. And so instead of looking at or listening to the rhetoric, let's talk about what actions have been taken and who has really had a serious approach with regards to public safety. And I'll end by saying the two unions, the Firefighters Union and the Police Officer Union, that represent the men and women of the City of Binghamton Police and Fire Department, they have both endorsed me for mayor. They know both of us. They worked with my opponent for 8 years. They worked with me for 4 years. The Police Department endorsed me in the last election. The firefighters, the City of Binghamton firefighters, have stayed out of the Binghamton mayoral election for 30 years. They didn't endorse me in 2013. They didn't endorse Matt Ryan in either of the years that he ran. They didn't endorse Rich Bucci for any of the years that he ran. They have been on the sidelines for 30 years. They are coming out because they are that concerned about public safety in the city and which individual is sitting in the mayor's office. Thank you.
Don't sit down, Rich. You get the second question first. You've sort of answered it, but what do you see as the second greatest problem facing the city right now, and what will you do about it if you become mayor?
Well, I guess I did kind of merge those together. It is public safety, but I'll also say that you know everything has to be a top priority. Infrastructure is a top priority for this administration. Public safety is a top priority. Our neighborhoods where people live and work and raise a family, their priorities. Investing in our parks, providing opportunities for our youth. You know, all of these areas are a focus of this administration and are areas we need to focus on. So, you know, instead I think what I'll do is maybe respond to some earlier comments that were made by my opponent, just to set the record straight. In no particular order, the City of Binghamton website, I recall vividly one of the first things the previous administration did was remove all the news releases that that Mayor Bucci's had online. When administrations change, you do update the website. That was the case of the previous administration. The city of Binghamton didn't have a youth bureau. The city of Binghamton had one person with the title of a youth bureau director, and so we have individuals at City Hall that focus on youth, and we've invested more in youth programs than the previous administration. We've worked with the Boys and Girls Club to expand programs and operations there with regards to expanding the hours of operation and providing membership fees so people didn't have to pay to go to the Boys and Girls Club. So all of these areas simultaneously are priorities of the administration, and with each one of these areas, I can point to concrete, specific results. One-third of all city streets have been milled and paved or reconstructed in 4 years. That's more than the previous administration did in 8 years. We're on track to tear down more properties over the course of the next 4 years than the previous administration did. So I can give you concrete results in any one of these areas. I might not deliver it in the best soundbite or provide the best rhetoric, but I believe that my track record speaks for itself. Thank you.
Okay, Tarek, your response. What is the second greatest problem facing the city, and if elected, what will you do about it?
Well, I've packaged everything into the first issue, which is neighborhood safety. And I didn't do that as kind of a strategic soundbite. That's truly my philosophy in creating safer neighborhoods for everybody. I think all of us, when we look at education, we take a holistic approach. Right? And the ecosystem of neighborhoods are such that we really need to focus on all those elements to create safety for everybody. But I would say the second thing, so I'll step back a little. The second thing probably is the incredible lack of faith and trust that citizens have in our political leaders and our democratic institutions. We see this at every level of government. And I think that is incredibly corrosive to our democracy, and it compromises our shared possibilities. When we have 10% approval ratings of Washington, when we have political leaders that are fomenting division and hate, we need new leadership. And I think that same thing can be said here, and that there have been instances in which my opponent has undermined our faith and our trust in political leaders and our institutions. Whether it was faking headlines or even just removing or dismantling a lot of the citizen boards that the last Democratic administration created, right, in a genuine effort to build partnerships together, whether, again, it was removing many documents from the website. This, to me, is the most important thing. We have serious challenges in our community. We have a lack of jobs. We have half of our children living in poverty. We have neighborhoods that are littered with blight. We have slumlords that are putting vulnerable families in unhealthy and unsafe housing. We have too many of our loved ones being lost to addiction. We can't solve any of those complicated challenges unless we restore faith and trust that government can be a force of good in people's lives. And that's something that I'm going to make a priority, because if I'm going to reach out to all of you in partnership and extend that to the faith community and extend that to the school district and extend that to parents, is there needs to be a sense of trust and faith that we're going to be a genuine partners in a common future. Thank you.
Well, don't sit. You get the
next
one first. So sort of in summary, why should the voters elect you over your opponent?
I have, I was born and raised here in this community. I remember my mother taking me down to Dick's Clothing Sporting Goods to get cleats and for Little League games. I remember going to the Binghamton Plaza to see my first movie, Empire Strikes Back, in 1980. Our neighborhoods have changed dramatically, but I have a profound passion for this community and a deep commitment to our shared future. What I'm bringing and what I'm offering is really better than the basics. This administration has had a golden opportunity. Or as I said The work done by the last Democratic administration was to really set the next mayor, whoever it was, up for success. And over the last 4 years, my opponent has had it even better. The pension and the health insurance costs have dropped $3 million. Sales tax revenue back from the county have increased $1 million. So some roads have been paved, which is good. Right? Some properties have been demolished, which is good. Some police officers have been added or investments in public safety. I didn't agree with all of them, but that's helpful. But are we really leveraging our resources? Are we really, really seizing every opportunity? And if you look at my record, I've consistently done more with less. If we compare our records on tackling blight, an award-winning initiative that became a model for the state, I led that effort. Over 90 properties were addressed in our neighborhood, 65 demolitions, but 25 rehabilitations. We brought in Broome Community College students to do work at some of our rehab sites. We launched the Binghamton Homeownership Academy. We took federal dollars to leverage $5 million in state dollars to leverage $5 million in private investment. That's what's missing in this current administration. That kind of creative leveraging and partnerships, being fiscally responsible, doing more with less, and doing it without undercutting our values or losing sight of our values. So if you want to see our neighborhoods thrive, I tell you, hire a national blight expert. Right? If you want to see faith and trust restored in government that's going to open the door and restore seats at the table for everybody, hire somebody who's fully committed to participatory democracy and who has shown a pattern of leadership with integrity, with excellence, and distinction. So it would be an absolute honor to have your support on November 7th. And when elected, I really look forward to working with you because you are all incredible leaders in this community. And I'm excited about our prospects. Thank you.
Okay, Rich, why should the voters elect you over your opponent?
Okay. So one of the great things that I like about this group is that many of you have been in this community for a long time. You're not newcomers to this community, so you have the ability to really separate the fact from the fiction, so to speak. Many of you suffered and survived through the previous administration, and you have been here while I've been in office. So you know what the city was like in 2006. You know what it was like in 2013. You know what it's like today. And you can separate the rhetoric from the reality. In 2013, I was given a wonderful privilege and opportunity to be elected mayor of the city. And I appreciate the faith and the trust and the confidence that people have put in me. And I want you to really think about something. If there's one thing you leave this debate or this conversation thinking about, is does it really make sense that the previous administration spent 8 years setting up the next administration? I want you to think about wherever it is that you work and when you started, that the person who was in the position before you, their attitude was, well, everything good that you're doing, it's because I set that up for you. The reason that I was able to hit the ground running is because I worked at City Hall for 6 years. I worked at SUNY Broome Community College. I worked with great leaders who were great mentors and friends and invested in my growth and development. I invested in this community as a private citizen. I'm a business owner. I have the combination of public sector and private sector experience where I didn't need to spend a year figuring out where the lights were and how to move the city forward. I'm also not going to sit here and say that everything under the previous administration was bad. That's not true either. But the reality is we have worked very hard and accomplished a lot in a very short period of time. And if these things were so simple and so easy and so basic, then why weren't they done over the course of the previous 8 years? I mean, that's a question that I continue to ask myself every time I hear about how easy it is to be mayor. Anybody could do it. You should be doing more than what you're doing right now. Given, you know, what you inherited. You inherit good things, you inherit challenges. The next mayor will inherit good things will inherit challenges. The previous mayor inherited good things, he inherited challenges. You know, 4 or 8 years is a very short lifespan or window in the history of a city. You know what? I don't think my opponent's a bad guy. I don't dislike him. I think he's a smart, articulate, intelligent person. I think he has really good ideas. But it's who can take the ideas off the drawing board and make them a reality. That's an attribute of what a good leader is. Take a look at both of us and where good ideas were able to come off the drawing board and make them a reality. Who has been able to make more progress? That's one thing I'd like you to think about when you leave today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I would respectfully ask for your support if you live in the city of Binghamton. And if you don't, I know you know someone that lives in the city. Thank you very much.
You're listening to a forum this week for candidates for Binghamton mayor. It was hosted by the Binghamton Rotary Club. Present were Republican incumbent Rich David and Democratic challenger Tariq Abdelazim. In taking questions from the audience, they were asked about flood control and its impacts on riverfront neighborhoods. First up was Mayor Rich David.
That's obviously been a major topic over the course of the campaign. And there's just, I don't know that I can do this in 2 minutes or less, but what the city of Binghamton has done is we focus on localized flooding with regards to flash flooding, and then there's the flood walls themselves and the new flood maps that are going to impact your flood insurance rates. And so we've been working with Broome County on moving forward in a general direction. We have to get our flood walls inspected and certified. That ultimately will end up in a reduction in your flood insurance rates. There's obviously been, you know, some disagreement on, you know, what the best course of action is to get there, but that's obviously something that's going to take place. But I also just want to mention that with regards to flash flooding and the localized flooding, we've invested millions of dollars with regards to pump stations, expanding the capacity, and also examining other areas of the city to determine if new pump stations are needed as well. We've invested close to $2 million in the McDonald Ave pump station, replaced the Trout Brook sewer line. We have a study going on the east side right now to determine if we need a new pump station in the Mueller Ave area that will handle most of the east side portion of the north side. We also received just under $2 million from New York State to address 4 other pump stations across the city. So these are 2 different things. What I'm talking about doesn't necessarily have an impact with regards to your flood insurance rates, but there is a great deal that needs to be done. And I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Okay, Tariq, do you want to respond?
Yeah.
Rich explained the first part of your question, but I will just talk a little bit about flooding. You know, I was personally impacted myself. I purchased my home on Tremont Street, and 8 days later was hit with the September 2011 floods. So my plan to do some rehabbing at my house all of September and take some time off didn't really work out. And what I saw, it sticks with me. Because what happened in 2006, I think most people kind of felt like they got sucker punched. Right? We rolled up our sleeves as a community. But what I saw in 2011 was different. It was psychological trauma. Is that people suddenly understood that they were vulnerable, that their sense of security had been lost. Right? Neighborhoods had changed. People's lives changed who took the buyout and others. So this is serious. Just as we have a public health crisis impacting our people, right, with addiction, the opioid epidemic, I think we have a climate change crisis impacting our neighborhoods. And everything that we do, we need to figure out how we build more resilient neighborhoods. Everything. And so that's why I worked very closely with the Broome County Flood Task Force as I was Director of Planning, Housing, and Community Development. A lot of the projects that the mayor just mentioned, I had worked to get those into the New York City's RISE program and initiative. I'm looking at pump stations over on the east side and others. We also tried to get a solution to Woodburn Court, the low-income subsidized senior housing project over here. That was the most vulnerable and impacted group of residents in all of Broome County. They were displaced the longest. People died during their displacement. And that problem hasn't been fixed. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened. We had submitted a grant application to FEMA as part of the city's RISE, and it was to move all of those mechanicals up top, and it just was rejected under those last 4 years. I'm not sure why. We also got a stormwater management grant from Chesapeake Bay Foundation when I was director of planning housing, because we wanted to work with homeowners and businesses. If you're going to make improvements to your parking lots, let's make them green. Right? We can do a lot more work. As I've traveled the country helping communities deal with vacant blighted properties, I'm also seeing some very innovative strategies in crime prevention, but also in building more resilient communities, where water districts are funding youth programs to install rain barrels, right? Reduce the amount of flow that goes into our sewer plant. There's a $37 million infrastructure project being planned here, taking the Brandywine corridor and redirecting it into South Susquehanna Street, right, as an entrance, as a boulevard entrance to the city. I brought this to the attention of our assemblywoman that there's no conversation about resiliency in that project. It's being seen by DOT as just a transportation project. Fortunately, there are allies at BMTS that are advocating for how do we also turn this into wetland and improve the resiliency of the neighborhood. But that's the kind of leadership I'm going to bring. Every investment we make, we need to make sure that we're protecting our neighborhoods from the floods and the coming high cost of flood insurance.
The final question from the audience concerned urban blight. Specifically, the candidates were asked about the city's attitude toward rental properties, how they should be regulated, and how the worst ones can and should be condemned. The first respondent was challenger Tariq Abdelazim.
That's a great question. So this is based on a model from the city of Rochester working in close coordination with Monroe County, the Department of Social Services. What the city of Rochester first did was implement citywide rental registration. Once you implement citywide rental registration, then you can partner with DSS on ensuring that we are not enriching slumlords who put folks in unhealthy and unsafe housing. So sometimes I'm accused of being a policy wonk. So in my press release, I didn't explain all those details, but that's how. Otherwise, you get charged with being biased, right? And seem like you're targeting low-income tenants. Yes, sir.
So you're in favor of rental registration for all rental properties in the city?
Absolutely. The law is on the books. It was passed in 2013 or 2014. It just hasn't been enforced for the last 4 years. But I am in support of that. And what I've learned at the Center for Community Progress is that we have to have a carrot and a stick, right? Landlords are a key partner in creating housing opportunities for everybody, an absolutely key partner. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm demonizing landlords. They're critically important, particularly in the city when we have about a 45% home ownership rate. So what we do is we have carrot and stick. Everyone's going to be inspected. If you don't have any code violations, we won't come back for 3 years, right? If there are multiple code violations, you're going to be re-inspected every 6 months, right? There are additional ways that you can waive the penalty for those that are compliant and providing quality housing, and then increase the penalty for those that are not. But this is also why I talked about ending the auctions, the tax foreclosure auctions, is we've seen what happens is you sell a property on Saturday in a room like this, whoever can come with cash, guess who shows up? The same notorious slumlords that are creating nuisances in our neighborhoods. So we were over at an East Side meeting, and there was a police officer up front, community response team officer, and everyone started screaming about three properties. And when they said, what was the number on Wilcox? And like eight people screamed out the same number. You know, there's those properties on our block. And I looked up on Broome County Real Property. Two of them that they had mentioned had just been sold at the auction for $14,000 to the city's most notorious slumlord. That's where the shooting was on the east side. Right? So the officer says, I can't do anything about it. And that is the problem, is that we put too much burden on teachers and police officers. We expect them to be mental health resource officers, psychologists, right? They are not there to create safe neighborhoods. They are the last line of defense, in my opinion. So we fix that problem up front so we never create that nuisance. We don't auction the properties. We do what I've coached Syracuse and Albany to do. You move those to our Broome County Land Bank, yeah, we'll need to partner with them. But then we could actually prioritize homeowners and responsible landlords. If you're compliant with the registration, you get first dibs at this rental property. You shouldn't have to compete in bids with a slumlord. If we want to prioritize affordable housing, we can do that through the land bank. It's about getting predictable outcomes that are consistent with the neighborhood's needs and priorities. That's how we're going to create safer neighborhoods, by tying these systems together and being way more proactive and creative with our approaches. Did that help answer the question, though? Thanks.
All right, that question was kind of geared towards him, so I'll just give my take on that. That was a confusing week, and I'll tell you, this really has nothing to do with my opponent, but I was concerned and did feel that the county executive was speaking out of both sides of his mouth and frankly was playing politics and was providing information to my opponent in a much more rapid fashion than I was trying to access that information. So it wasn't just about the list. It was also about trying to set up a meeting to talk about a lot of these neighborhood issues, which to date, they still haven't responded to our request to set up that meeting. I believe the response was they wanted to wait for Nancy Frank, the new commissioner of DSS, to start, and she's been placed, I think, almost 2 weeks already. Still can't get the meeting. So I suspect that maybe after the election, they'll want to meet more on these issues. But I will say that, you know, my opponent and I both have concerns about the county auction process. It is flawed, and I'll tell you that one of the things that we did this last year, is we worked to put an agreement in place that the legislature approved to allow the city to acquire properties for demolition at a nominal fee. Previously, the city had to make a deal and pay an exorbitant amount of money, in my opinion, to the county for many properties. Both this administration and the previous administration paid for those properties. That's well documented. And now we're able to acquire the properties for a dollar or a nominal fee. Properties that need to be demolished, they don't end up in the hands of landlords. And frankly, over the course of 10 years, I think the city has lost control over the direction of many of these neighborhoods because people can just come in and properties are auctioned off to the highest bidder, not the best use, not the most productive use for the community. I'll give you a specific example of what turned the tide. And it's a property on Clinton Street. I believe the address is 341 Clinton Street. I wanted to buy it. The city, a couple years ago, didn't have enough money in our budget. County ended up auctioning it for the third time in 3 years, got the $20,000 they wanted. And over the course of the next 6 months, shots fired, drug activity, after hours activity. And the residents nearby, they were the ones that suffered and were caught in the middle. We were able to condemn the property. I was able to go back to the county and said, this is what I'm talking about. This is putting a face or an example to the problem that we have. Then they were more receptive to, you're right, yes, we got to do something. We have to change how this works. That only addresses a portion of the problem. That only addresses properties that need to be demolished, not ones that are in good shape right now that just need a certain amount of investment. But we want to prevent those from deteriorating and becoming properties a few years down the road that need to be demolished. I agree that the land bank is a good asset. The city of Binghamton is the most aggressive user of the land bank. The other municipalities in Broome County are far behind with regards to having properties to demolish or rehab or to with money to secure. But I think that these transformative projects help stabilize neighborhoods. What's happening on the Front Street Gateway Project with the First Ward Action Council, what's happening on Crandall Street with the First Ward Action Council, what we're doing with the Binghamton Housing Authority on the north side, demolishing the Big Lots Plaza, got a grant from a Restored New York grant from New York State, getting the property admitted into the Brownfield Cleanup Program, doing an $11 million 48-unit affordable housing project. These sorts of projects help stabilize neighborhoods, but I think we both agree that housing is a top priority, and more needs to be done, especially between the city and the county.
Our time is up, so I want to thank Tarek and Rich very much for being with us today and answering our questions and spending time with us.
And that concludes this candidates' forum featuring contenders in Binghamton's mayoral race. They are incumbent Republican Rich David and Democratic challenger Tarek Abdelazim. Our thanks to the Binghamton Rotary Club for hosting the forum. This has been a production of WSKG News. I'm Charles Compton.